Thank you, Joyce. Morning, everyone. My name is Susan. Welcome to Centralia Unity Center for Positive Living and the third week of Advent. We'll start with today's reading from the Daily Word. Love lights my way. In this Advent season, as I prepare my heart for the rebirth of my inner Christ child, I take a moment to connect with the spirit of love within. Sometimes this season may seem to be about presents, food, and celebrations, but it is really about love. Love is the power upon which the whole world revolves. Especially at this busy time of year, I want to stay attuned to the love of the Christ within. Through this reciprocal power, the love I give returns to me abundantly. Love transcends all, transforming any perceived negativity into a blessing. I express love in all my words and actions. I may give a plate of homemade food or send a heartfelt note of appreciation. Whatever I do, I let the love in my heart be my guide. And from Mark 12, 31, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater. And we will now light the candle for the third Sunday in Advent, love. We relight the candle of faith and peace. And on this third Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of love. The reading is from a letter to God from Myrtle Fillmore, co-founder of Unity. Dear God, we are centered in your presence and power. Nothing can disturb us or dismay us. In the darkness, your light shines. In the midst of uncertainty, your light reveals the way. Dear God, we are centered in your love. We feel warmed and comforted. Centered in your love, we look at the world with eyes of love. We express love. We draw loving and happy experiences to ourselves. Dear God, we are centered in your strength. No hurt or unhappiness can stay with us. Centered in your strength. Sadness. We are set free from fear. Strength fills us and joy overflows us. Dear God, we are centered in your life. Every part of our bodies feel the touch of your healing life. Centered in your life, we feel quickened and restored.
We feel the infilling of your changeless eternal life. We are healed through and through. And from Luke 2, 10 and 11, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord.
And this from one of our beloved Unity members. Dear friends at Unity Center for Positive Living, thank you for all you do. I am both grateful and inspired by you. First, inspired by how you serve Lewis County and the planet through outreach to partners with local food organizations, with REACH, and Dr. Daria's monthly learning group, with Grandfather's Church, as well as with your commitment to Zoom services that connect with members across the country. I am grateful for you, your heart-centeredness, your welcoming spirit, your love, and your value on connecting has blessed me these past 2 years. I feel spiritually fed by our time together. I am so grateful, with love, appreciation, and gratitude. And with that, I turn it over to you.
Thank you, Penny. I'm pretty sure that that sentiment is shared by many of us. We have much to be grateful for. Would you please join us in singing Surely the Presence while we are led by Joyce and Eileen?
Yeah, Penny, up in the right hand corner.
I don't know.
That's a great way for us to open up. And now together, we will all say our opening statement. There is only one presence and one power active as the universe and as my life, God the good. And our welcoming song today is actually two songs. We're going to sing God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, followed by Hark the Herald Angels Sing, two of our favorite Christmas carols.
Remember Christ the Savior was born.
That was great. If you would turn your view to gallery so you can see everyone, we'll greet each other and wish everybody a Merry Christmas. So there you are.
So quiet. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas everybody.
Merry okay. Christmas.
And Merry Christmas, Gabby. Come on.
No.
Just say it. Okay. Or not.
Merry Christmas, Gabe.
Merry Christmas. Ethan said it's snowing.
Whoa. That's exciting.
Is it snowing?
Snowing somewhere.
Somewhere. I'm sure that is true.
Wait, yeah. That is...
It's, wait. Yeah, it's looking like it. Okay.
It's snowing in Windlock. Windlock.
It's snowing it in Windlock. Well, yeah, Windlock. Don't tell your friends Merry Christmas so you don't get upset later.
No, I want to see the snow.
Lucky you. Maybe we can build a snowman this afternoon. In the meantime, these are the announcements we have for today. There is a board meeting after the service today, and you are all invited and encouraged to come. If you are one of the candlelight readers for next Sunday, you should have received the information by email. There is a list of the 12 powers and the names of the people reading those parts, and then the second attachment has the parts, and you could look those over and get familiar with them, and we'll have that as our service next week. Today is Grandfather Roy's service at 2 o'clock, and all the information about his activities is on our website, as are the schedule and information for Circle America, which will be actually will not meet the last Sunday of December, but will meet in January. And the book is White Fragility, so you can get prepared for that. Does anyone have any additional announcements? Irene and Eileen and Irene, just unmute yourselves and go right ahead.
I just want to share that there's this one more medicine wheel on Thursday, and that's the last one for this year. And then in January, the medicine wheel and Chinook Zooms on Thursday will resume.
Susan? Just letting you, Jerry, the rest of the board is here if you want to come join us for the board meeting. But also anybody who's in town, we have a hot bumbleberry pie in the oven at church. If you want to come join us and bring vanilla ice cream, please.
I just wanted to put it out there that the used copies of the book that we'll be going over on the fourth Sundays have all arrived. I have three of them here at the church. And they are, just let me know and I will make sure that I get them to you.
All right, thank you, everyone, for your announcements. And now we will say the unity statement together. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God. And our songs of joy today are the First Noel and the Wondrous Song.
Fields where they lay.
Those songs are so great. This morning, our reading will be given by Eileen.
All right. So I actually, you know, I chose the lovely little Unity booklet. Of course, we all know I love the Unity booklet. So the new Advent booklet for this year. And as I read through it, I thought I could actually have written this. This is like so perfect for me. Okay. So December 12th, I love movies. So it's not a surprise that movies are part of what makes Christmas special for me. I never tire of them. Even the ones I've seen several times. I like the classics, A Christmas Carol, Miracle on 44th Street, and my favorite, It's a Wonderful Life. And the TV classics, A Charlie Brown Christmas, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the best. Over the years, I have watched these movies with family, with friends, and by myself. Actually, I used to watch It's a Wonderful Life every Christmas Eve while I wrapped presents, and my children, I realized, had never even seen it until like 5 years ago, and they're like 20, okay? Yeah. So, like many, I have favorite scenes and characters. I know what's going to make me laugh, and I know what's going to make me tear up a little. I think that's why I treasure these movies as much as I do. No matter how many years I see them, I'm moved every time. I'm always touched when Charlie Brown's friends decorate his scrawny tree. And I get a little teary when Rudolph leads Santa and his reindeer to the island of misfit toys, because what I'm really witnessing is love in action. I feel happy when Ebenezer Scrooge meets Christmas morning with outpourings of generosity to those he had spurned just the day before. And I feel the same when George Bailey's friends rush to his aid and Harry raises his glass and says, "A toast to my big brother, George, the richest man in town," because I'm witnessing the transformational power of love. I know I'm not alone. Beyond entertainment, these tender scenes show us something important about ourselves. We have in common the love that elevates us beyond personality and self-centered concern, allowing us to be the vessels through which divine love expresses. To see someone through the eyes of love, to finally see ourselves that way, is truly a Christmas miracle. The experience may be fleeting, no matter. Once we have felt it, the tear in the eye, the lump in the throat, the fluttering of the heart, we can no longer deny love's truth or love's reality. We finally realize that all we can do is obscure it. We discover we have the power to transcend selfish concerns on Christmas and every day of the year. And we know something else. When we finally grow weary of making life so hard, of doing battle within and without, we have a way out and a way up. We can choose love. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. Written by Reverend Teresa Burton. And the meditation for the day: on this day of Advent, I remember to let love open my heart and inspire my life.
Thank you, Eileen. That really was wonderful. And I'm sure all of our individually favorite movies went flashing before our eyes. There are so many great Christmas movies. Today, our meditation songs are "O Little Town of Bethlehem" and "Away in a Manger."
Y'all are getting a lot of me today. Okay. Thank you.
I just really want to thank the musicians, the folks who worked on getting the lyrics together and making the slides, and all the time it took for us to just sit back and enjoy these songs. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, and we are grateful. Thank you so much. So it is time for our affirmations. And if you would join me, please, we will say them together. I am the love of God in expression. I am truly thankful for all the good I already experience. I am growing more prosperous with every day. I am healthy, active, whole, and happy. I am always growing and expanding into the fulfillment of my potential. I am at peace, knowing that everything I need comes to me in perfect time. And today we will say the Progressive Lord's Prayer, followed by the Alleluia. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, I am. I am thy kingdom come. I am thy will being done. I am on earth even as I am in heaven. I am giving this day daily bread to all. I am forgiving all life, even as I am also all life forgiving me. I am leading all people from temptation. I am delivering all people from error. I am the kingdom and the power, and I am the glory of God in eternal, immortal manifestation. All this I am. Thank you. Well, it's our great opportunity today to have Audrey Pitchford, our licensed Unity teacher from Olympia, join us. And the title of her talk today is The Spiritual Universe and the Physical Universe. Welcome, Audrey.
Thank you, Susan. It is always a delight to be here, and Merry Christmas, everyone. So many of you may have heard of the scientific theory called the Big Bang. This is the theory that our universe and all life and all matter and all physical forms that we know of were created in one energetic explosion that continues to reverberate and expand throughout space and time. And in Unity, we're always coming up with other names for God. So I thought it might be kind of entertaining along the same vein to see some of the other names that people have come up with for the Big Bang. I thought these were kind of cute. So when I was researching this on Google, some of the other names people came up with were the best of times, the first of times, the grand opening sale, dude, where's my void? And if anyone used to enjoy the classic comic strip, Calvin and Hobbes, the little boy and his toy tiger, the horrendous space kablooey. I like that one. The colossal kaboom. And a few more. Honey, I blew up the cosmic egg. Oops. What the heck was that? Hey, looky there at that. Jiffy Pop. Well, I'll be, and this very last one is my personal favorite, let there be stuff. All right. Well, today, as Susan mentioned, we're going to be talking about the spiritual universe and the physical universe. And as we talk about this, we're also going to talk about the process of creation. And this is all part of our study of the book Heart-Centered Metaphysics by Paul Hasselbeck. And remember, in Unity, the word metaphysics just means beyond the physical. And in Unity, this word metaphysics is sometimes used to mean theology, which is just a fancy word to mean exploring big questions like, what is God? What is humanity? And what is our relationship with each other? And we know that we explore these questions from a heart-centered perspective. We bring to these questions our love, our compassion, our courage, our oneness. This is more than a head exercise, more than a mental exercise. We are centered in our hearts as we explore these questions. All right. So in the Hebrew Bible, which is sometimes called the Old Testament, there is a story about the creation of the world in the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis. And so this is the point where I always like to hear from everyone in the group, because I know what I think, but I always like hearing what everyone else thinks. So perhaps you have read or heard the creation story from Genesis at some point. And so this is the point where I'd like to hear, what do you know, or what do you remember from that creation story in the book of Genesis? What happens in that creation story? And I invite anyone to unmute themselves and share, what do you know from that creation story in Genesis? What do you remember? What happens?
Well, you know, God said, let there be light. And you know, he took a week almost to create everything and took a day off.
Okay. All right. So God said, let there be light. He took almost a week, created a bunch of stuff, and then he took a day off. Great. Thank you, Johnny. What else happened? That's pretty much it. That was the big overview. Yeah, John.
Okay, now you can talk.
Sherry says you can
talk. Okay. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, I hear you, John.
I like the part where it just says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Yes, it starts out in the beginning.
It was, there wasn't no form or no, it was all empty and void.
Yes, in the beginning there was a void. God was there and God decided to create some stuff. Okay, yeah, thank you, John. Yeah, yeah. All right. God pre-existed everything. God was there when there was void, okay? What else do folks remember from that story?
And it was good.
And it was good. Yeah, God pronounced it good. At the end of every day, God said, this is good. This is good. Created day and night. This is good. Created animals. These are good. Created the dry land. This is good. Yeah. Yes. Wonderful. Thank you, Irene. Anything else? Oh, yeah. John has something else to say. Okay, John.
You know, there's one more thing. We can learn to say it is good.
Yeah.
You know, our words, our thoughts, all of those things affect the world, affect our world, our lives.
Indeed.
And it's so great to know that we have a say in the whole thing too.
Indeed, we're going to be talking about that.
Yeah, God gave us some of his power.
Indeed, we're going to be talking about that sacred power of creation today. Thank you, Don. I appreciate you bringing that up. All right. Well, if it has been a while since you've read those stories or looked at them, we're going to do a crash course reminder about what's in there today. So anyone else want to add anything before I get back to the slides? I don't want to cut anyone off. All right. So let's get back to the slides, the creation story in Genesis. So remember, before we get into this further, in Unity, what we teach is something called metaphysical Bible interpretation. And what this means is that we look not at interpreting the Bible historically or literally. So we don't assume that there was someone sitting there writing things down as they happened in the Bible. But we look for a deeper meaning, a symbolic meaning. Now, this isn't to say that these stories happened or didn't happen, and it's not to say that these stories are unimportant. We're saying that the importance lies in something other than their literal accuracy or something other than their historical accuracy, that the stories are important regardless of whether or not they are true. And we also look at the context. So John mentioned that this story starts out in the beginning. And we know that the story of creation is at the very beginning of the Bible. So we look at where it's placed. And we look at the things that are mentioned in the story, the words that are used. We look at what did these words mean to the people who told these stories. And we also look at, since metaphysical Bible interpretation is personal, what do these words mean to me? What does it mean to me that God said everything was good that God created? What does it mean in my life? Because metaphysical Bible interpretation is personal, what I discern as a meaning may be very different than what Irene discerns, or than what John discerns, or than what Susan discerns. And that's okay. We can each discern our own meaning. Finally, when we discern a metaphysical meaning, with metaphysical Bible interpretation, it's important that our meaning aligns with Unity's five basic principles. And just as a quickie reminder, Unity's five basic principles: God is all good, everywhere present. Human beings are inherently divine. Our thoughts create our experiences. Prayer and meditation remind us of our connection with Source, and we live the truth we know. This is important because, unfortunately, sometimes Bible interpretation has been used to harm or oppress people. And so when we're talking about metaphysical Bible interpretation, we're never looking at using it to harm or oppress people. And if we come up with an interpretation that could harm others, then it's time to go back and rethink and look for a different meaning. So it's really important to connect with making sure that our interpretation aligns with Unity's five basic principles. So with that in mind, one of the first steps with metaphysical Bible interpretation is we go back and we read the stories and we put them in our own words. And when we start looking at the creation story in the Bible, the first thing that we might notice is there's actually not just one creation story in the Bible. There are actually two creation stories. And because they're kind of long, I summarize them here. So Johnny pretty much gave us the recap of the first story in Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 1 through Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. It's the 7 days of creation and God's steps. God said, let there be light. God created day and night. God created the dome or the sky separating the waters from above, from the waters from below. God created the earth or the dry land, vegetation, plants, and trees. God created seasons, stars, days, years, living creatures, birds, fish, cattle, wild animals, humankind with dominion over the animals, and in the image of the divine. God created humanity, male and female, said, be fruitful and multiply. And God rested on the seventh day. And through it all, God said, it is good. All right, so that's the first creation story. And then if you keep reading, in Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 through 25, there's actually a second creation story. And in this story, the pattern's a little different. God creates the heavens and earth. God creates man and breathes him to life and plants a garden called Eden for man. And God makes everything grow that's pleasant to see and grows things for man to eat. And God brings all the animals to man and asks man to name the animals, and man gives all the animals names. And then God recognizes that man needs a partner, and he causes man to go to sleep, and he creates woman from man's rib. All right. Now, back when Phil Moore, our Unity co-founder, Charles Phil Moore, Back when Charles Phil Moore was studying the Bible in the late 1800s, the prevailing idea was that Moses wrote the Bible. And biblical scholars of the time looked at instances like this where the Bible had two stories, and they saw this as a problem, because how could God have created the world twice? And after the time of Phil Moore, new information came out. For example, in the 1940s, outside the Dead Sea, several ancient texts were discovered that were called the Dead Sea Scrolls. And these ancient texts were actually copies of old Hebrew documents. Some of them were found to be the oldest known copies of several Bible stories. And these texts added greatly to the knowledge of biblical scholarship and the knowledge of what these original stories were. There's no original copy of the Bible, but these copies were older than any previously known copies of biblical stories that were available when these were found in the 1940s. Also, if anyone else likes to nerd out on biblical studies like I do, there's this fantastic book that I highly recommend. It came out in the 1980s, so it's widely available through online booksellers or in public libraries. It's called Who Wrote the Bible? It's by Richard Elliot Friedman, and it studies the first five books of the Bible, and it talks about some theories about who wrote the first five books of the Bible. And the theory is that there were actually multiple authors of what we call the Bible, and that we consider the Bible to be one book, but the reality is that it was probably multiple books written by multiple authors at one point glommed together into one book. And this research is based on different writing styles and different words that were used throughout the writing, and that part of the reason that Bible scholars think that there were more than one author writing these texts is that the people writing, in addition to having different writing styles, they called God by different names. And so, for example, one of the authors calls God Elohim. And so that author is called the Elohist, or sometimes referred to as E. And another author always calls God Yahweh or Jehovah. And so that author is called the Yahwist, or sometimes called J. And there's other writers as well that have been identified as likely authors for parts of the Bible, but that at some point all these different writers' works were spliced together into what we know of as the Bible. So in any case, when our Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore was studying the Bible in the late 1800s, none of this was known. This was all going to come after his time. But he was quite a mystic, someone very in tune with the divine. And he was a studious man, very discerning, very up on the scientific information available of his day. And he was also very aware that the Bible was likely not something to be taken literally. And in his studying and in his discernment, he landed on a spiritual truth when he was studying these two creation stories in Genesis. And the spiritual truth that he landed on was this. He landed on the spiritual truth that in the process of creation, everything is created twice. Everything is created twice. Everything is created first in mind or in idea form, and then it is created in the outer. Everything is created first in ideas and then in the outer. And he explained it this way. He said, mental activity in divine mind represents two phases. First, conception of the idea, and secondly, expression of the idea. In every idea conceived in mind, there is first the quickening spirit of life, followed by the increase of the idea in substance. And that came from one of his books where he talked about the mysteries of Genesis. So when he's talking about this idea, the conception of the idea or the quickening of life, he's talking about a perfect idea, a divine idea, something in the spiritual universe, something that we all can draw on, something that is divine. And you might remember when we've talked about God and other names for God, one name for God that we've talked about is the divine idea containing all ideas. So I love that, that image of God as an idea containing all ideas. And then when Fillmore talks about the expression of the idea or the increase of idea in substance, he's talking about our ability as humanity to draw on a divine idea and express it out into the world. And when we do that, we know that we can't use up that divine idea, and our access to that divine idea is unlimited. Now, this is super, super duper theoretical. So let me give a more concrete example of how this could work. Unity Worldwide Ministries has a theme in 2021 on how to stay grounded no matter what. And part of this yearly theme is a review of the 12 spiritual powers of the divine. So these are 12 divine attributes that our co-founder Charles Fillmore identified as being attributes of the divine. And we know, because all humanity is an expression of the divine, that all that we envision being attributes of the divine are also attributes of each of us and of all humanity. And the power for the month of December is the power of life. And so when we're talking about life, we're talking about the faculty of movement, vitality, wholeness, creativity, that expression of the pure eternal life of God within each of us, our ability to energize, enliven, and the power of animation and presence. And so in Fillmore's example about everything being created twice. Life is the divine idea. Life is in the spiritual universe. It's one of the divine ideas in the mind of God. And as humanity, we can all draw on that divine idea of life to express it out into the world. And so for each of us, we might each have a different vision of what living life to the fullest means or what living the good life means. And if I live my life as fully as possible, I still can't use up the divine idea of life. And me living my life as fully as possible doesn't take away from Irene's ability to live her life as fully as possible, or Joanne's ability to live her life as fully as possible, or anyone's ability to live their life as fully as possible. None of us can use up that idea of life because that idea of life is unlimited. I also really like that here in life, we see the power of creativity. Now, as humanity, we all have the ability to create from a conscious or an unconscious place. And I think we've all seen that when we create from an unconscious place, unfortunately, we all have that ability to create harm or create destructive abilities. But the more conscious we are of our divinity and the divinity of others, and the more we draw on our spiritual gifts, especially something like the power of life, the more fully we're able to express that sacred power of life into the world. Now we have an affirmation for the power of life this month, and it is: life is the infinite endowment of God. An eternal life is happening now. I invite us all to affirm this idea together. Life is the infinite endowment of God. An eternal life is happening now. And we know this is so. Now, our co-founder Charles Fillmore was a man of his times. And my mom and I were just having this conversation yesterday that it's not fair to judge someone in the past by today's standards, because we do know things today that just were not commonly known back in Charles's time. And there's ways that Charles took his ideas into some arguments and thought patterns that I think today may not always be super helpful. So I think the key idea that I like to focus on from his discerned truth that things are created twice is that it's always important for me to focus on my awareness with the divine, to know my oneness with source and to recognize the oneness of everyone else with source, and to think about that as I focus on my ability to create and my ability to bring forth. And I just love that creativity is part of our divine power this month. I think creativity is such an important thing to keep in mind too in the Christmas season. Now, I know that some people have challenges with the word creativity and creative. And I've heard people say, oh, I'm not creative. And I've also heard some people use the word creative to describe some people as if there's some groups of people who are creative and some groups of people who aren't, as if to say, oh, he's a creative type, or he's a cultural creative, which I don't agree with that kind of terminology, because I think, again, it implies that there are certain people who are creative and certain people who aren't. And for me, that's not true, because we're all created in the image and likeness of the great creator, and because we're all connected to divine life, I believe we all have that sacred power of the ability to create. One quote from the creation story in Genesis is that God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And as I discern a metaphysical meaning from this passage, what I see is that ability to create, that what we inherit as heirs of the divine from this passage is that sacred ability to create ideas, blessings, stuff, goodness in the world. Because we know that everything is created twice, first in the inner and then in the outer, that's a reminder to me too, to watch my thoughts, to ensure that I'm holding the high watch for myself and for others. And also a reminder that if I'm in circumstances or conditions that I don't like, it's time for me to examine my consciousness. I may and or may not be able to shift things in the outer, but maybe I can shift something in my thinking that will help reduce suffering or make the experience something that's a little easier for me or for others to go through. I love that during the Christmas season, we get a chance to focus on this power of life. And as we've all been going through this Advent season together, and perhaps you've also been reading through that lovely Advent book that Eileen read from today, we've been focusing on several divine ideas. We focused on the divine idea of peace. We focused on the divine idea of faith at the beginning of Advent. Now we're focusing on the divine idea of love. Next week, we're going to focus on the divine idea of joy. And as we're preparing for the Christ presence, that reminder of that Christ presence that's born in each of us in every moment, as we in unity celebrate the birth and the life and example of our master teacher, Jesus the Christ, we also have that opportunity as students of metaphysics to look at what is being born in me. What am I birthing into the world? What am I creating? What am I bringing forth? What will you create drawing on that sacred power of life? What is yours to create? Maybe you are inspired to create a meal for people you love, or create an environment to make others happy in your home. Maybe you're part of creating a beautiful Sunday service like this one, or creating music for people to enjoy, or art that inspires others. Maybe you create jobs that bless other people with financial abundance, or maybe you create ideas on how to give and you create financial blessings. We all have that ability to create. And so I know that as we each align with our divine power of life, that we can all discern what is ours to create, what is ours to express and manifest and bring forth in the world. And like the divine, we will all be able to say, and it is good. So as we continue walking through this Advent journey, let's remember that our thoughts are powerful. Our thoughts have the ability to create, and creating is one way of celebrating this gift of life that we all have, this oneness with our Creator, with the great Creator. Let us affirm our statement one more time before we move into meditation. We know together that life is the infinite endowment of God, and eternal life is happening now. And let's take a deep breath and move into a time focusing on the sacred power of life. Let our bodies relax into our chairs, feeling our bodies breathe in and out gently, knowing that we are being breathed. We don't even have to do anything to let that breath come in and out. We don't even have to do anything to let our heart beat. We know that we are life in expression. We know this gift of sacred life flows through our physical bodies and through our emotional and spiritual bodies as well. are so, so grateful for this gift of life. We see that we are here to express life fully. Have life in abundance. We are here to shine our light, a blessing. And we allow ourselves to tune in to that divine idea of life. That divine idea that is part of our ability to create. We allow ourselves to discern what is mine to do, what is mine to be, what is mine to create. Know we can let the answer arise gently and easily in the perfect time and in the perfect way. So we allow ourselves a few moments in the silence with these questions: what is mine to do and be and create? And we take the questions into the silence. I am guided. I am guided to live my purpose in each moment. I follow my dreams in faith. God shows me the way. I am open and receptive to those divine ideas. Whether I receive that idea now in the time of meditation, or whether that divine idea pops into my mind later in a conversation with a friend, or when I'm listening to a song, or in a dream, I know that I receive all I need in the perfect time and in the perfect way. I am open and receptive to divine ideas. I know that I create just like the great creator. I create in mind. I express out into the world. For all the ways that I create good. So, so grateful. It is good. It is. Amen.
And Audrey, we are grateful for you. I am life in expression. I am here to shine my light. I create. Thank you. Now it is time for our offering. And we want to thank everyone who has sent donations to Unity by mail. And we appreciate all the checks that are sent to 800 South Pearl Street in Centralia, 98531. You can also donate on the website. And we thank you for the ways that you also give of your time and talent. Thank you. Let's say our offering prayer together as we hold them in our hands or hearts. Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. And our blessing of thanks. We bless these gifts and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us multiplied abundantly, and so it is. And it's time for our healing prayer. If you would like us to focus our collective group healing energy for someone, just speak out their name, please, or hold them quietly in your heart. I can't see you, so you can just unmute and speak those names. We are currently praying for Daria's brother, James, and for her friend Bebop, who was badly injured in a car accident on his way coming here to Washington State, and he got about halfway across the country. If you have other prayer requests, you can speak those now.
Would like to pray for all those affected by those tornadoes.
Yes.
Back east.
Thank you. Blessed Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for all and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. And together we will say our prayer of protection. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. And together we will sing the peace song. Those of you who are in church can circle up, and the rest of us will virtually wrap ourselves around you.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank the people who made this all possible for us today, Audrey and Joanne and Eileen and Joyce and Tom and Penny.
Susan.
And Penny, yes.
I gotta go get the pie out of the oven. I'll see you later.
And
our speaker
next week will be the 12 of us who are going to speak the parts of the candle lighting service. So come join us. It's going to be great.